from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Right, this topic applies to not just Kansas City, but every team in the National Football League. The Dallas Cowboys right now and their star wide receiver CeeDee Lamb appear to be at an impasse. CeeDee Lamb wants to be paid like a superstar wide receiver because that's what he is. The Cowboys disagree, and right now CeeDee Lamb is in Houston. They are in Oxnard, California, getting ready for the season. He is not reporting to training camp. He is basically doing the Chris Jones. Now, it's a little bit different because he is on a rookie deal, so maybe it's more like Jordan Love or Bosa, where you can get these fines waived, where with Chris Jones you couldn't because he was on his second contract. So it's probably more like those. That was a wrong comparison. This is what I want to talk about, and this is where I think some of the conversation about compensation for this position has been a little bit dishonest. Rob, I think we are reaching the point where people are going to talk about the bubble bursting at wide receiver because so many of them are starting to get paid. We have seen a boom in the wide receiver market, I would say basically since the offseason of Tyreek Hill. You remember Tyreek Hill had the trade, Devontae Adams had the trade, and then A.J. Brown also had the trade in the same offseason. So we saw a lot of movement one year. Now, fast forward a couple of years later, there's a lot of wide receivers that have gotten paid or are en route to get paid. Justin Jefferson just got paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid. Jaylen Waddle, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith, Nico Collins. We can go up and down the list, but that's a position group that is starting to get paid. This is my point, though. We have to acknowledge, though, that in the NFL, because I hear all the time, well, don't pay CeeDee Lamb, just draft another wide receiver at a cost-controlled price. Sounds all fine and good. But in the NFL, there's a floor. There's also a ceiling. So you have to spend this money. So if teams aren't spending it on running back, if teams aren't really spending it at tight end, where do we think this money is going? Like, all of this money that is coming into the league from television and gambling, as the salary cap continues to balloon and balloon and balloon, you got to pay the money out to the players. So quarterbacks are getting paid at an incredibly high level, which makes sense. The most valuable position on the field. After that, I think what you are seeing is a shift in positional value. Rob, a reason that you hate running back is positional value. Hey, I see them as the least valuable starting position in the league, so why do they get this much money? I think what the league is telling you is, we have invested in this quarterback. instead of giving the left tackle this money, we now think it's in our best interest to give this money to the number one wide receiver on our team and the number two wide receiver on our team and try to build as many weapons and toys and gadgets around our quarterback as possible to try to score as many points as we can. For the most part, that has been a good strategy. But when I hear about this bubble that is bursting for wide receiver, it sounds really good. You then have to tell me where you think the money is going if it's not going to wide receiver, because that just means another position group then gets paid. But right now, if you look at it, tight ends don't make more than $20 million a year. Safeties don't really get paid big money right now. Linebacker is starting. If you are a tackle guy, you know, back when we were coming up, Rob, you had guys like Luke Kuechly and Brian Urlacher and Ray Lewis was that type. You weren't a huge sack guy, but you were going to get 160-something tackles over the course of the year. As we have devalued those things, there's only really four or five positions that teams and people want to pay. Wide receiver is just one of those positions. So I actually don't see the bubble bursting really anytime soon near wide receiver. There continues to be more and more skilled wide receivers that are coming out. Eventually, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to turn out to be a star. Malik Nabers turns out to be a star. Keon Coleman turns out to be a star. You eventually pay those guys, and then there is just another new crop of game-changing superstar wide receivers that you want to pair with your young quarterback. I do not see the bubble bursting at wide receiver anytime soon. You got to pay somebody.
I don't think the bubble's bursting, but I think wide receiver is going to be different than quarterback, pass rusher, or elite secondary, or maybe secondary will fall into this category. You're going to see a class system at wide receiver. You're going to see your A.J. Browns. You're going to see your CeeDee Lambs. You're going to see your Tyreek Hills. You're going to see Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. The elite of the elite are going to absolutely break the bank. That is going to happen because you're right. Someone has to get paid. And pass catcher, whether it be tight end or wide receiver, is a difference maker position. But unlike quarterback, where you see everyone swims in the wake of the big money, Tua's about to get super paid, Trevor Lawrence got super paid, Jared Goff got super paid. We're talking like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guy deep is getting paid. I don't think you're going to see that in wide receiver. I think you're going to see mega money at the top of the market, and then there's going to be a middle class where you get what Juju got last year or what Gabriel Davis got this year. It's not no money, but it's not, whoa, can you believe Justin Jefferson set the market? I bet everyone's number just buoyed up. I don't think that's happening at wide receiver. I think you're seeing a class system where Myles Garrett reset the market for defensive players, then Bosa, then Jones, and eventually Micah Parsons is going to reset it. And all these elite players are going to keep resetting it, and other players are going to swim in that wake and get probably more money than they deserve. I don't see that happening at wide receiver. I see it being upper class, middle class, drafted.
Yeah, and I think that same thing is what's happened at quarterback. Now, there's just way more people in the getting paid. But again, that money has to flow somewhere. Like someone on the text line says, CDOT, it doesn't have to go to one position. Ideally, you want to spread it around for a more balanced team. Yeah, that sounds fine and good, but that's just not practical in the NFL that we watch. Like whenever it comes time to pay Trent McDuffie, you have to pay him based on the market of what his position is. Trent McDuffie is a $20 million a year football player. So yeah, you might only want to pay him 10, then you don't keep Trent McDuffie on your team. He leaves eventually. Or you can franchise tag him and then you give him the average of it anyway. If you want to keep George Karloftis, it then becomes, hey, he's a $15, $20 million a year player. Like, this is just, I think sometimes we are just so conscious of the salary cap as fans that just we are not now arguing market value. Now, you can argue that the market for wide receiver is simply out of whack, but then you at least have to acknowledge that the money is just going to transfer to another position. And what other position on the field do you think should be making more money than what it is? Again, you guys don't want to pay running backs. You don't really want to pay tight ends top value money because Travis Kelce should be making what Brandon Ayuk is asking for, should be making what Ja'Marr Chase is asking for, but he's making $14 million a year. So those are two major important positions on the offense that are not getting up to $20 million. Centers are not making that kind of money right now. You look at the defensive end, a certain type of linebacker doesn't make that money. Safeties don't make that money in the NFL. If your salary cap is $210 million, that money is going somewhere. It's going to your quarterback, who's going to be making $60 million here in a little bit, and it's going to start going to his top weapon. You're going to have to start paying $30, $35 million a year if you want one of those top-flight wide receivers in the league. And CeeDee Lamb is a top-flight wide receiver. And I think to your point, Rob, if you don't want to swim in that market, and understandably, if you don't want to do it, now wide receiver number two number has also gone up. Maybe you want to save a little bit of money and you don't want to go get CeeDee Lamb. Then you can go get Calvin Ridley. You owe Calvin Ridley $20 million. You owe Calvin Ridley what you would owe Trent McDuffie. You owe Calvin Ridley what you would owe George Karlaftis. Which one would you rather have on your team? Like, this is just a product of, we can't say on one realm, hey, man, the owners are making all this money, keep playing all these games. And then when it comes to the player, hey, don't pay the players. No, you have to. That is how this works. You have to give them some of the money. And just the league is determined which one of those players is going to start getting the money. The wide receivers are getting it.
I just think you're seeing, you're right, like, Calvin Ridley is a little bit different, but I think the Titans are paying Calvin Ridley like he's wide receiver one. I don't think the Titans see him as wide receiver two. I think you're seeing the wide receiver two market. I think you saw it with Gabriel Davis. I think you saw it with Juju Smith-Schuster. I know that he wasn't the number two wide out in Kansas City, but he was pass catcher number two. I think you're seeing that 3 for 39, 3 for 42, 3 for 45. That's kind of the market that's emerging for wide receiver two. Meanwhile, if you have a difference maker, if you have a dog, you're going to pay whatever the number. But I think people like Adam Thielen is a good example. I think people like Adam Thielen are going to get caught up in this. They're not wide receiver two. They're better than 3 for 39, but they're not 8 for 165 good. So what happens to him? Marquise Brown, he's not 3 for 39 good, but he's definitely not 10 for 200 good. What happens to him? I think you then see this, hey, flyer one-year deal market, or you do what a lot of teams are doing. I'm not paying the going rate for wide receiver two. I will draft wide receiver two. That's what the Cardinals just did with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not paying your number. I'm going to draft your replacement. Peace out. Goodbye. I think you're seeing it emerge in three different sections.
Yeah, and I would just say eventually, though, I mean, you made the decision to pass on DeAndre Hopkins. If Marvin Harrison Jr. turns out to be the player that you think he's going to be, you spent the number three overall pick or a top five pick. I think they're the fourth overall pick. Then now comes the time to pay Marvin Harrison. You got to pay him. You spent a top five pick on him. You are paying Marvin Harrison Jr. if he turns out to be the player that we all think he can be. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has a chance to be a superstar in this league. He has a chance to be a star. That guy just eventually gets paid, man. That is just the way that this thing goes. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals, who yesterday blew it in the ninth. Kiefer, oh, we got Harold Koontz coming up. My apologies. I forgot to write that down. My bad. That was a late addition to the show. That's my bad. We got Harold Koontz joining us on the show today. We will get to the Royals, but right now, let's go to Chiefs training camp. They have the off day today. Harold Koontz has been there every single day. He's going to update us on what's going on. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is normally, Rob, where we would have the trader join us on the show. At training camp, we know he's there in the hot sun with his little notepad and his flannel and his plaid. We don't have him. So we're trying to figure out, you know. It's like a TV show. This is like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where you lose Aunt Viv. We just got to recast Aunt Viv. Let's go to the phone lines right now for Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 joining us on the show today. Harold, you are the light-skinned Aunt Viv.
Man, I'm a sub. I need to just get off the phone right now. That's terrible, man. You're going to give me light-skinned Aunt Viv treatment?
That's no. Our guy. Harold, you know I love you. I love you, Harold. Idiot.
Oh, my goodness.
Our guy Harold Kuntz joining us on the show today. Harold, how are you feeling? I heard you hurt yourself. I'm not going to say how I heard you hurt yourself, but I heard you were not 100%. Are you okay, my brother?
Well, I'm good now. I just got out the MRI. So, yeah. Things are looking up.
Harold, that's good to hear. I'm happy that things are looking up, man. I'm happy that things are looking up. You have been going to camp. What have you been seeing from the Chiefs?
Man, I think it's a lot of the determination of Patrick Mahomes to just force the ball deep. Even if it's incomplete, even if the defense gets interception, he's going deep this year. This entire camp is about him experimenting to go deep, and that's it. And the defense's role is to basically not get frustrated until tomorrow when they get pads on, and then they can start knocking people out if they so choose to. But try not to knock them out too hard when they get injured because, well, they're already down a couple people. But that's the whole team of this camp might as well just be like Patrick Mahomes stepping up and saying, I'm throwing the ball deep, whether you like it or not. Catch the ball. I'm seeing who I can rely on because that's what I'm doing this year. I'm throwing the ball deep. Just get used to it. That's literally – that might as well be the theme of the camp so far.
I thought it was it did not feel random to me that on the first day of practice they throw that pass to Xavier Worthy. I mean, the Chiefs offense last year, they just did not have that capability from anybody that was on their team. They thought they had it with Kadarius Toney. That obviously didn't work out. MVS was supposed to be their downfield threat. That's not what happened. Day one of camp, first team drill, they run a deep pass to Xavier Worthy, and you could just get the sense, and you were there, just you could feel the excitement from everybody knowing that they have something back in their offense that they never had, or I guess didn't have last year.
Yeah, not last year. I mean, their deep route conversion. I mean, everybody knows about the statistics. They're lower fourth in the league when it comes to completing deep routes. I mean, they're toward the end. Patrick Mahomes made it very simple on the first Tuesday they got up there. He's like, yeah, I'm not really happy about how the regular season went last year, so this is what we're doing. When you pick up a guy like Hollywood Brown, when you get a guy like Xavier Worthy in the draft, it's pretty clear what they're doing. Because he's out, well, then next thing you know, they're throwing the ball to Rashee Rice deep. Next thing you know, they've got Jared Wiley going deep. I mean, it's basically like if you're on and you're open or you're one-on-one coverage, I want to see if you can go up and get it, because that's what's going to be the whole thing of this camp. Now, things will be different, obviously, when they put the pads on. You'll see some more 9-on-7. You'll see 11-on-11. It'll get a lot more physical. I think we already saw a little shade of that when George Karlaftis kind of bumped, kind of hip-checked at Kadarius Toney a little bit. But that's just it. Right now, he's like, I'm throwing the ball deep. Get used to it. This is what I want to do. So, yeah. And Travis Kelce, he's going to be the same way, too. He's going to go deep. So, I mean, this is really what this is all about. I mean, Andy Reid's always said it's experimentation at camp. This is what you're seeing right now. We're experimenting with the deep ball. We know we can do the intermediate stuff. We know we can do the check down. That's fine. I want to go deep, and that's just going to be the way it is.
I actually was on Kadarius Toney's side of the whole incident with George Karlaftis. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's football. It's training camp. Sometimes things are going to happen from time to time. But I thought Karlaftis was overly aggressive. I understand why Toney got up and responded the way that he did. I also like the way that Travis Kelce came in there and then defended the young guy, defended one of the guys on the offense. I also noticed in that video that there wasn't a coach that really got involved. Like, there was an issue in the team. They dealt with the issue. They broke it up. There were no punches thrown. And then everybody went back to practice.
Yeah, I mean, this is why you'll never see Andy Reid want to do a camp with another team. We've heard about how Dan Campbell was rumored to want the Lions to have a split practice because they are playing them in the preseason. At Arrowhead, that was a no-go from Andy. That's just the way it is. I mean, he doesn't like fights. He doesn't want things stopping it, and they move on amicably. The only thing I was really disappointed about was the numerous national media outlets that wrote horrible headlines for it, because it's just an embarrassment to people like us. But in the end, it's like it's a non-issue. I mean, you know, Karlaftis basically just said, like, oh, just wait until pads come on. That's all it was a little excuse me shove, like the old NBA days.
Yeah, I mean, I read all those headlines as Travis Kelce is just caught up in the ultimate clickbait machine, that if you're like, I'm sitting here seeing Us Weekly talk about a training camp fight that happened. Like, why is E! News reporting on a scuffle in training camp? Oh, yeah, Travis Kelce was involved.
Yeah. Yep, that there you go. Ding, ding, ding. That's the answer. Whenever he's involved with anything, that's the way it's going to be. And they don't know. None of them are there. I mean, we've been there. E! News is not there. Us Weekly is not there unless they're, you know, in the crowd, like wondering what the heck is going on and why are they in St. Joseph, Missouri. But no, that's not going there. It's just literally it's training camp. We've seen it before. I mean, I saw a couple of players before training camp started in the area, and they're like, yeah, it really doesn't start until the first person gets shoved over or turned around or something. You know, I think we now know that training camp has officially started. And they're ready to go with pads. That's all that means, nothing more, nothing less.
Right now, we're talking to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 joining us on the show today. He has been at every Chiefs practice. Tomorrow, they put the pads on, and training camp really starts to heat up. Let's keep it with the wide receiver room. I actually feel good about Toney standing on this team. I probably would have handicapped it for Sky Moore before this whole process started, but with the conversation around moving Toney to running back, with the early struggles from Sky Moore, I actually think that Toney is on this roster. I'm not sure if Sky Moore is making this team.
I tend to agree with you right now. I mean, it's early returns, but I mean, let's look at it this way. Like, what can you offer? And Toney, I mean, they understand there's a little comfortability there with some short routes. If he does get the ball, they are excited about what he can do with the ball. They continually say if he does get the ball, he's one of the more talented receivers they have on the team. And let's look at the running back depth. I mean, once you get past Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco, I mean, you're looking at a lot of guys that some are power backs, like, Denarius Prince or something like that. Keontae Ingram's trying to find his former team. But what's the issue with having him as kind of a 2/3 position there, and trying to work him out? And you know, one thing, if you can hand the ball up to him, it's a lot better than throwing the ball to him. Like, that, he can secure that. So, I mean, I think that's I think it's a good idea that they can experiment with in training camp, see where it lasts him. I mean, he's got to test out his durability too. That's another thing, because we know he's injury prone. So that's one thing to look out for. I think it's a good idea, but yeah, I mean, you don't hear Sky Moore's name a lot, which is a shame. You know, like they're going to try to make it work, but man, it's just not looking good. I mean, he's one of the guys, between him and Kadarius, they're two of the guys that you're looking at saying to yourself, all right, these are guys that really got to step up, prove themselves to be on the roster, and at least they're working with Tony right now. I don't see a way they're really working with Sky Moore right now. They're hoping that maybe something along the lines can work with him. I'm sure he's trying to work it out, but right now, early returns suggest that he's in a real battle for something or needs to start learning special teams soon.
Right now, we're talking to Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, going through some of the top storylines at camp. The biggest story is probably the left tackle battle right now. What are you seeing regarding that? Who do you think has the leg up?
So it's going to be hard to say until they get pads on, and we'll see what happens there. I mean, this weekend's going to be pretty critical to see what Andy Heck and Matt Nagy think there. But, I mean, right now you've seen, as, to use a political term, the incumbent, Wanya Morris is right now starting, but then as you've evolved through the practices, you've seen him get less and less, and Kingsley kind of mixing with the ones more and more. So I think it's just experimentation more than anything. Right now, obviously, Wanya's got the leg up. It's his job to lose, but Kingsley's going to, the more he learns, the more he'll be able to provide pressure. I mean, he's an important cog of this. I mean, they didn't draft him to just sit there and learn. They drafted him to probably play. So it's really a developing, fascinating situation to watch there. And also you add in the fact that Joe Tooney is out right now while he rehabs. We know he's a solidified starter when he gets back, but for right now they're rotating that position too. I mean, we're seeing some of the rookies like Hunter Norzad and C.J. Hansen get in the mix. So there's a lot of experimentation right now. Won't know much more until they get the pads on, but it is fascinating to see that Kingsley's getting more and more of the first team. I mean, Wanya, Andy Reid said he's doing well. He's doing well for what we've asked him to do. That was kind of the key word there that I took out of it, what we've asked him to do. Because what they've asked him to do right now is nothing with, basically shells and no pads right now. So we're going to see more and more how it develops, and I really want to see what Kingsley does in these one-on-ones, when they can really get after it with the defensive line, see how he handles his position there. We know he can't take much out of drills from one-on-ones. A lot of people like to take it because, they see the video of it, but you can't take much out of it because they're being asked to do so many things. But it's one thing where, you really want to see how this rookie holds up, because he's going to have to play whether he likes it or not. He's going to have to deliver at a time, one or another. And these preseason games are going to be very valuable for him because they've got a big decision on their hands.
You mentioned the pads coming on and what you're going to be looking for and what you're going to be watching for. I feel that way about somebody on the defensive side. I think about the players who have a little bit of buzz around them. We mentioned Kadarius Toney, where a lot of that conversation has been moving him over to running back. You mentioned the left tackle position between Morris and Sua Mataia. There's a little bit of buzz around him. Luis Riz-Zamet. I haven't heard a lot about Felix Onyedike Uzomah so far, which makes sense. Just defensive line, you aren't really put in a position early on in camp with no pads. Tomorrow when they start doing one-on-one drills, he's going to be somebody that I'm looking for, that I want to see, hey, are you winning these battles? Have you really taken that big step forward?
And he's going to have to. We saw this at the last year where he kind of stepped in with Minnehue on the table, and then Mike Danis emerges, obviously, Chris Jones, Trishon Wharton. I mean, there's available play time for him right now, and he's got to take advantage. So this is his second year. We all talked about how this was a redshirt year for him. This is a redshirt year no longer, man. You're a second year pro. You've spent all your offseason training with Tamba Ali, George Karloftis there. He's worked with it. You've seen his development. You see Karloftis. So let's get Dan a nice little contract too. So they think that they're guys right now. So you got to prove to yourself you are a guy. And right now we see it right now. We see the lineup right now. So it's going to be an interesting situation for him. I mean, he's got something to prove, and he can't wait. I mean, like they said, these guys got to step up. The last two rookie classes, the only one that's really stepped up is Rashee Rice right now. And you got to look at, Felix is a guy. He's a first-round pick. He's got to step up, So it's just the way it works. and he's part of their plan to really step up. He's got to be either a really good quality rotational depth piece or somebody where he cannot afford to be 2 years redshirt right now. So they've dealt their hand with all these guys like Dana getting contracts. Karloff is going to be up one soon. Tershawn Wharton, he's locked in. And we all their starter now. He's going to prove that he.
And that is our guy, Harold Kuntz, joining us on the show today, giving us a report from training camp. The Chiefs have the day off today. They'll be back in the pads tomorrow. It is their first padded practice of training camp. Harold, we appreciate you as always, man. Get better, man.
You know, whenever you need first tier Aunt Viv to show up, Carrington, I'm more than happy to help. I'll give you second tier stuff.
I appreciate you. That's my guy, Harold Kuntz, joining us on the show today. Harold, hopping on today. I'm really excited tomorrow to see. I'm really excited to see some of the one-on-one battles between the O-line and the D-line. Felix, last year, we gave him a pass. I'm not being overly critical of last year. 22 years old, coming into the league, learning. Okay, I get all of that. I remember one time J.C. Pearson told me that the biggest jump that you will take in your NFL career from almost every aspect is going to be the jump from year one to year two. You come into the league not knowing what to expect. You get that first season under your belt. You then think about how you prepped in the offseason, and now you know from a nutrition standpoint what you need to do, from a weightlifting standpoint what you need to do. Like, you've already gone through it one time. The fact that Felix has that leg up and is going into his second training camp, going into his second offseason, wasn't really on the field much last year, and is going to be asked to be on the field. Like, he is going to be in the rotation with no Charles Omenihu for the early part of this season because of the ACL tear. Felix Onyedike Uzomah is going to play a lot for this team early on in the season. What does he look like? How does he handle himself? How does he play? Those are going to be things that I'm going to be looking for this team early on in the season. And when is he on the field? Because if you're on the field in the third and fourth quarter of a preseason game, it kind of tells us how they feel about you at this point. So I haven't heard a lot of conversation about him, and I get it. You haven't put the pads on, and now we are transitioning to that part of the season. How they use Felix, what buzz do we hear at a Chiefs training camp? I think all that stuff matters, man.
I'll say this. You're right. How they use him in the preseason carries a lot of weight. Remember, who was it a few years ago? Thornhill was playing in the fourth quarter, and you were like, that's a big deal. And everyone's like, shut up. It doesn't matter. It does matter. They were easing him back from an injury. I think that'll be the ultimate determining factor. But didn't the Chiefs offseason kind of tell us how they feel about Felix? Like, they brought back Mike Dana, but outside of that, they didn't make any big moves at D-line. Like, going into the draft, there were, like, mocks and people saying, well, keep an eye out on Darius Robinson. Or there were other names like, oh, maybe they get this guy at pick 32 as a defensive lineman because they could use more depth of the position. They had Noah Minuhu to start the season. And you know what they did? They basically said, we're running it back. We have Karloftis, we have Dana, we have Jones, Wharton, and then right there, ready to roll, Felix Onyedike Uzomah. So you're right, preseason will be a better gauge of how they feel about him, but they have to feel a way about him to have made no offseason additions at his position, knowing that Charles Omenihu is going to miss time in some form or fashion. What amount? I don't know, but he's coming back from a torn ACL, so we'll just see. But the lack of movement at his position makes me think they have a level of belief in him that maybe the average fan doesn't, because we just didn't see it last year.
I mean, they're going to need him to step up. If you look at last season, Felix played in 20% of the snaps for the Chiefs. Charles Omenihu played in around 38% of the snaps. Also have to remember, he was suspended early in the season. So we're probably talking about him playing in 45% of the snaps if he's able to play those early part of the season. Like, Omenihu is a player that they relied on in the second half of the season. And Felix was kind of a rotational piece, a guy who helped a little bit here, did a little bit there. So this early part of the season, when I you know your defensive line and you know the guys who should be able to get after to the quarterback. Jones gets after the quarterback. Karloftis gets out of the quarterback. You get some contributions from some of the other guys. You mentioned Mike Dana. Like, Felix Onyedika, you don't spend a first-round pick on a D-end and don't have the expectation of him developing and turning into a pass rush guy. So last year, he just wasn't on the field enough and just didn't get put in obvious passing situations. You're going to be put in those situations in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. How do you do with those situations? Let's see.
I do think it's encouraging, and maybe I just sound like an apologist. He made a couple plays in the Super Bowl that popped. It took 21 weeks for him to pop. And that's such a football guy term. He popped on film. But he popped a few times in the Super Bowl. Was he Terrell Suggs? No. Was he Derek Thomas reincarnate? Uh-uh. But there were a few moments you went, oh, there's Felix. And Felix had an impact in a very important game against a good Niners offensive line. It wasn't like he was pass rushing against the New Orleans Saints or the Chicago Bears that just dregs of the league. He had a couple plays in the Super Bowl that give you reason to believe going forward. Combine that with the fact that Veach and the crew basically added nothing to his room this offseason, knowing a minute who's got to be hurt. I think there is a level of excitement quietly in that building about him because they never seem to replace him. We've seen off seasons where guys look okay in year one, and suddenly they bring in insurance policies, or suddenly they bring in competition to the position. Hey, you're going to have to earn your spot. You're going to have to earn your keep. Look what they did with Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney at wide receiver. You're going to have to earn your spot, young man. That is not how they handled DN. Now, maybe they're wrong, and maybe they're overvaluing him, but the early returns are there is a level of belief in Onyedika Uzomah that, at least at this point last season, didn't exist because he was walking into a red shirt doesn't matter season.
Yeah, and I think just the Chiefs and what they were, I think they were kind of afforded that capability. I mean, you draft him as the last pick in the first round on a team that's super deep that just didn't really need him for year one. So maybe this is me treating him with kid gloves, so to speak. But I'm willing to look past what we saw last year from Felix and count this as an asterisk kind of rookie year. You didn't get a lot of snaps last year. You didn't get a lot of opportunities. Now they are going to count on you to step up. He is going to be somebody that I am going to be tracking over the course of now that the pads are on and you're going to get a better sense of one-on-one battles and who wins those. Also, as you head into preseason games, this is the time for him to get some valuable in-game experience. He just didn't get a lot of that last year. That's what the preseason is for, to help develop your young players. He's one of their young players. Coming up on the other side, there are two stories that I think affect all of us. I will tell you what they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We'll get back to sports coming up in just a bit. But these are two really important stories that we need to share. Number one, Chipotle says that they are, quote, re-emphasizing generous portions across its restaurant after online backlash that some workers were skimping on serving size. Now, I am not here to encourage the hassling of Chipotle employees. I'm not. But we all can acknowledge, if you go to Chipotle the way that I go to Chipotle, that you got to keep a watchful eye on them. Their app, it's terrible. I refuse to use the Chipotle app. Not because the app doesn't work, but if you are not watching them make your bowl, you are going to be very disappointed. You got to hover over them like a teacher. You remember back when you were in school and they were doing assignments and your teacher be looking over your shoulder to make sure you're doing your work? You got to do that to the Chipotle employees to make sure. You will never get enough. They will not give you enough rice. They will not give you enough chicken. They will not give you enough of the fajita veggies. You will not get enough of something. If you've ordered off the app before, you've ordered a steak bowl and you got barbacoa, or you might not have meat in there, period. I refuse to use their app. We all have also been in the scenario where you ask them to make you a burrito bowl. And Rob, they get that nice scoop of chicken, and then they start dumping the chicken into your bowl. It'll be like 4 or 5 pieces of chicken left. And you kind of look at them, and then they look at you, because you want to know what they're about to do. Are you going to give me those extra 4 or 5 pieces of chicken, or are you going to put it back into the container for the next man? Are they telling me that now they're about to give me that extra 4 or 5 pieces of chicken? We're getting the old Chipotle back? This, oh my goodness, this warms my heart. Quote, after receiving the feedback, it has caused us to look at our execution across our entire system with the intention to always serve our guests with delicious, fresh, custom burritos and bowls with generous portions. This is all we wanted. That's it. Oh, I'm so happy. You don't understand. I'm not as happy as when they made the announcement that college football was coming back, but it's close. If that was a 10, this is a 9.2. I'm so thrilled. Now, we'll see. We got a report back. But I also hate the fact that every Chipotle is not the same. If you go to Five Guys, the burgers are the same. It doesn't matter which one you go to. We all have our favorite Chipotle because that one's better than the other Chipotle. No two Chipotle bowls are the same. Portions aren't the same. If we getting back to the old school traditional values, sign me up. Thank you. Brian Nickel, is that your name, the CEO? Thank you. I'm happy. TikTok, you accomplished something. They can never get rid of you. I don't care what kind of meeting or Senate hearing that they're having. If you did this TikTok, we need more of you. Thank you. That generation was eating laundry detergent on there and doing weird dances in the middle of the street. I'm happy that they put the technology to good use and they got us the old Chipotle back. Thank you.
I mean, if TikTok's going to change the world, can we make DoorDash not the most expensive thing on earth? Can we set TikTok sites on our next big problem as a society?
Let's do it.
Uber Eats should not be, I got a $9 burrito, I owe $69. Come on now. TikTok, I'm pleading with you. Eat some Tide Pods, dance in the street, do whatever you gotta do. But let's tighten up the pricing on DoorDash.
So that's story number one. Story number two, that affects all of us. Sports fan, we'll get back to important sports things. This affects all of us. Did you guys hear that Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max, they are now going to offer up a bundle? This is the next step to them including ESPN in this bundle, right? Because Disney, Hulu, and ESPN have a bundle. So for this, they dropped ESPN and they added Max. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If I can get Hulu content and Disney content and HBO content all under one bundle, that sounds like...
Is there a one word for it, maybe?
I can't. Because there used to be this thing we used to have where you would pay a set amount and then you would get all of these channels included in it. I can't remember what we used to call... Oh, that sounds like cable. That's what that sounds like. Disney, Hulu, and HBO, $30 a month sounds to me like cable. We really let them finesse us, didn't we? We really did. I remember like it was just yesterday, 2011, 2012, we were complaining about cable, how expensive it was, how we were paying for all these channels that we didn't really need, how we needed a better service. I remember I was there. I was at the front of the line complaining about cable. Now, fast forward. We got NBA games on Amazon, Thursday Night Football, Christmas is on Netflix. This would have never happened in 2001. It would have just been on your regular Time Warner, your regular American Cablevision, your AT&T cable. We didn't realize how great we had it. we really didn't realize how great we had it. We had it so good. We had the TV thing set up just how we liked it. You could turn on the TV. You could get all the NBA games, all the NFL games. You could watch your baseball team on cable. It was great. Sports Center was at its prime. Man, cable was... Look at what we did, man. Cable, I want to apologize. Spectrum, Time Warner, I apologize. I didn't value our relationship. I just wanted to go back to how it was. I'm sending a little late night messages telling you I miss you, saying I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna change. I'm a changed man. I'm gonna change my ways. You message me back saying it's never gonna go back to how it was. You're with somebody else now. It hurts. I thought we had more time together. I really did. I didn't understand. I missed the challenge of watching one channel you're not supposed to be watching and then having to hit the last button really quickly to turn to Nickelodeon. I missed those days. I didn't realize how great we had it. I didn't realize it. I really didn't. You got to hit last real quick. Cable, I'm sorry, man. I really am. I apologize for not... I didn't value you enough for the great thing that you were and the impact that you had on my life. So just two things I wanted to share with you guys today. Chipotle says that they have heard us and they want to get back to the basics. You know, they want to get back to the basics. And also they have gentrified cable. That's what they did. They gentrified cable. And it wasn't bad the way that it was. I just didn't appreciate it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Royals yesterday that gave up all the runs late in the game, and also what the plan is for them going to be around the trade deadline that is next Tuesday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. We'll get back to sports coming up in just a bit. But these are two really important stories that we need to share. Number one, Chipotle says that they are, quote, re-emphasizing generous portions across its restaurant after online backlash that some workers were skimping on serving size. Now, I am not here to encourage the hassling of Chipotle employees. I'm not. But we all can acknowledge, if you go to Chipotle the way that I go to Chipotle, that you got to keep a watchful eye on them. Their app, it's terrible. I refuse to use the Chipotle app. Not because the app doesn't work, but if you are not watching them make your bowl, you are going to be very disappointed. You got to hover over them like a teacher. You remember back when you were in school and they were doing assignments and your teacher be looking over your shoulder to make sure you're doing your work? You got to do that to the Chipotle employees to make sure. You will never get enough. They will not give you enough rice. They will not give you enough chicken. They will not give you enough of the fajita veggies. You will not get enough of something. If you've ordered off the app before, you've ordered a steak bowl and you got barbacoa, or you might not have meat in there, period. I refuse to use their app. We all have also been in the scenario where you ask them to make you a burrito bowl. And Rob, they get that nice scoop of chicken and then they start dumping the chicken into your bowl. It'll be like four or five pieces of chicken left. And you kind of look at them, and then they look at you because you want to know what they're about to do. Are you going to give me those extra four or five pieces of chicken, or are you going to put it back into the container for the next man? Are they telling me that now they're about to give me that extra four or five pieces of chicken? We're getting the old Chipotle back? This, oh my goodness, this warms my heart. Quote, after receiving the feedback, it has caused us to look at our execution across our entire system with the intention to always serve our guests with delicious, fresh, custom burritos and bowls with generous portions. This is all we wanted. That's it. Oh, I'm so happy. You don't understand. I'm not as happy as when they made the announcement that college football was coming back, but it's close. If that was a 10, this is a 9.2. I'm so thrilled. Now, we'll see. We got a report back. But I also hate the fact that every Chipotle is not the same. If you go to Five Guys, the burgers are the same. It doesn't matter which one you go to. We all have our favorite Chipotle because that one's better than the other Chipotle. No two Chipotle bowls are the same. Portions aren't the same. If we getting back to the old school traditional values, sign me up. Thank you. Brian Nickel, is that your name, the CEO? Thank you. I'm happy. TikTok, you accomplished something. They can never get rid of you. I don't care what kind of meeting or Senate hearing that they're having. If you did this TikTok, we need more of you. Thank you. That generation was eating laundry detergent on there and doing weird dances in the middle of the street. I'm happy that they put the technology to good use and they got us the old Chipotle back. Thank you.
I mean, if TikTok's going to change the world, can we make DoorDash not the most expensive thing on earth? Can we set TikTok sites on our next big problem as a society?
Let's do it.
Uber Eats should not be, I got a $9 burrito, I owe $69. Come on now. TikTok, I'm pleading with you. Eat some Tide Pods, dance in the street, do whatever you got to do. But let's tighten up the pricing on DoorDash.
So that's story number one. Story number two. That affects all of us. Sports fan, we'll get back to important sports things. This affects all of us. Did you guys hear that Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max, they are now going to offer up a bundle? This is the next step to them including ESPN in this bundle, right? Because Disney, Hulu, and ESPN have a bundle. So for this, they dropped ESPN and they added Max. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If I can get Hulu content and Disney content and HBO content all under one bundle, that sounds like...
Is there a one word for it, maybe?
I can't. Because there used to be this thing we used to have where you would pay a set amount and then you would get all of these channels included in it. I can't remember what we used to call... Oh, that sounds like cable. That's what that sounds like. Disney, Hulu, and HBO, $30 a month sounds to me like cable. We really let them finesse us, didn't we? We really did. I remember like it was just yesterday, 2011, 2012, we were complaining about cable. How expensive it was, how we were paying for all these channels that we didn't really need, how we needed a better service. I remember I was there. I was at the front of the line complaining about cable. Now, fast forward. We got NBA games on Amazon, Thursday Night Football, Christmas is on Netflix. This would have never happened in 2001. It would have just been on your regular Time Warner, your regular American cable vision, your AT&T cable. We didn't realize how great we had it. We really didn't realize how great we had it. We had it so good. We had the TV thing set up just how we liked it. You could turn on the TV. You could get all the NBA games, all the NFL games. You could watch your baseball team on cable. It was great. SportsCenter was at its prime. Man, cable was... Look at what we did, man. Cable, I want to apologize. Spectrum, Time Warner, I apologize. I didn't value our relationship. I just wanted to go back to how it was. I'm sending a little late night messages telling you I miss you, saying I'm gonna be better. I'm gonna change. I'm a changed man. I'm gonna change my ways. You message me back saying it's never gonna go back to how it was. You're with somebody else now. It hurts. I thought we had more time together. I really did. I didn't understand. I missed the challenge of watching one channel you're not supposed to be watching and then having to hit the last button really quickly to turn to Nickelodeon. I missed those days. I didn't realize how great we had it. I didn't realize it. I really didn't. You got to hit last real quick. Cable, I'm sorry, man. I really am. I apologize for not. I didn't value you enough. for the great thing that you were and the impact that you had on my life. So just two things I wanted to share with you guys today. Chipotle says that they have heard us and they want to get back to the basics. You know, they want to get back to the basics. And also they have gentrified cable. That's what they did. They gentrified cable. And it wasn't bad the way that it was. I just didn't appreciate it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Royals yesterday that gave up all the runs late in the game, and also what the plan is for them going to be around the trade deadline that is next Tuesday. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.